Lisa, Chris here, I'm on. Hi everyone, welcome.
Hey, Chris.
Hey Lisa, how are you?
It's quiet. I didn't know who else was on.
We are not alone.
Okay, good.
And we have more people logging in. So for those of you who are here, we're going to wait another minute or two, giving others the opportunity to jump on.
Chris, I'm on the East Coast tonight, and I will say a 9:30 call for our East Coast standards is late. I don't know
yes,
how you
is.
All do it. I don't know how y'all do
well,
that.
Well, when you have kids in their teens, usually they keep me up until 11, 12 o'clock at night, so it's become the norm a little bit. It makes coffee in the morning very, very nice.
Well, I was falling off to sleep at 9 p.m., but I say I got to stay up till 9:30.
Right.
Can we go ahead and get started then?
Sure. Would you like to do
intro? I'm not sure how long
intro?
I can hang.
Okay.
Is there anyone new on that we need to go through the intro for? Because that, I don't know, is anyone new on the call, this first time joining? I think I heard something.
I don't know. Let me open with prayer, Lisa,
yes.
And then you can just do the intro, and then, if you don't mind, I want to take a minute just share a praise report from this week for myself, because I don't know if everyone read my post this past week. Pretty cool, pretty awesome, but I just want to share the praise report so it would encourage others. So let's open with prayer, and I know we're going to have more people coming in, and that's okay. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We want to thank you, Father, for who you are. We thank you that you are, first of all, sovereign, that you are God Almighty.
No.
And that you are full of grace and mercy. And Father, we come before you this evening, Father, as you told us in Hebrews, to come before your throne of grace, seeking grace and mercy. Father, we come, all of us, on our knees with our heads bowed and our hearts bowed, Father, giving you all the honor and all the praise, because it is all about you. And Father, we want to give you our time tonight, Father, that we want to give you all of the hurt and the pain that we have tonight. We want to give you all the questions we have. We want to give you everything that might be hindering us or bothering us or attempting to deceive us, that you would hear our prayers and you would hear our concerns and you would give us the answers. You said in the Bible that if I can't think of the verse now, but you said if we ask, come and cry out to you, that you'll hear our prayers and you'll hear our cries and you'll answer us and you'll show us great and mighty things that we don't know. So, Father, you know where each of us are in our stand for our marriage. You know where each of us are in our relationship with you. Father, we ask, as we are gathered here together in this conference call for tonight, come and meet us, each of us individually, where we are in our relationship with you, our walk with you, and our stand for a marriage. Father, you know the right things for us to hear and to receive that would strengthen us and encourage us to draw closer to you, that if we did that, we discovered who you are in our lives, then Satan has lost and completely been defeated. He's already defeated and lost. We just have to step into that truth. So help us, Father, to step into that truth that you have given us in the New Testament and New Covenant. And, Father, we ask that you bless our conference call tonight. You said that if two or more are gathered in your name, you'll be there with us. So, Father, we ask, come join us, speak to us, in us, and through us, through your Holy Spirit. And anoint us, Father, with your word, your truth, your encouragement, your trust, faith, and hope. Because all of that comes from you. We ask, Father, for your blessing in our midst here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. So I do the intro.
Chris, go ahead and I'm going to skip the intro tonight in the interest of time.
Okay.
So why don't just go ahead and share your praise report, and if anyone else has a praise report they'd like to share, you know, this is a great time to do that.
Perfect. Okay. So you know, we never know who's on the conference calls, and we might have people who've been on here for a while. We might have new people. I don't know. Some of you might know me from, you know, seeing my numerous posts, previous conference calls, emails, et cetera. Others have no clue who I am. But I will tell you this. I've been standing for my marriage for about 2.5 years now. Two and a half years ago when my wife decided that she, you know, she bought into the lies of Satan and started moving in that direction, she was very cold, and all of you could relate to this. She was very cold. She was very distant. She was very combative with me. She was very, there was just a certain anger about her toward me, unwarranted. And I know many of you, or all of you, can relate to that. But the reason why I point that out, though, is that over the course of the past 2.5 years of me standing for my wife, my marriage, standing, you know, with my Father in heaven, that what he declared, what he said is going to come to pass. Here we have, now I have a wife who is not home yet, and we're not restored. But last week, the Lord moved me to invite her for Thanksgiving. Now, this is going to be her third Thanksgiving that she's been out of the house because she moved out August of 2017. So third Thanksgiving. The first two Thanksgivings, she did come over, but she came over reluctantly. She came over for just a couple of hours. And it was just a very awkward, you know, time when she was here. But here we are this year, this Thanksgiving. Last week I sent her the invite. I texted it to her, and I gave her several options. You know, if you're in town, I'm inviting you to come over. If you decide not to, that's fine. Enjoy whatever your other plans are. But if you do want to come over, I'm going to cook. You know, I'm going to make the full meal, and which I've, you know, done in the past two times when she's been here. So I'm not a great chef. It's not sort of like she's coming because I'm some great chef. I mean, I'm not destroying the turkey, but it does come out good. But this time, what's different is that not only did she answer and say yes, that she would come over, but she's coming over for the full day. And so earlier this week, she texted me that she's coming over for the full day, which is incredible. In the past, when I've invited her, she would give me no response, and it wasn't until me and the kids would prod her on Thanksgiving Day to actually come over. And then she would come over at the last minute. But this year, she responded earlier. She said she's coming over for the full day. She's coming over early in the morning, spend all day with us. And in addition to that, just today we were on the phone, and this is pretty cool. Today when we were on the phone, my wife and I called her for some other for a child-related issue. And so what's interesting is we were talking about one of our kids – and an issue that we had to deal with her. And when we were done discussing that, she then changed the conversation to Thanksgiving. And she said, can I bring anything over? And so we laughed and chatted about a couple of different things. And so at the end of the conversation, it turns out that she's actually going to make a couple of dishes, and she's, you know, coming over, and she's looking forward to having a good time. So I present two years ago Thanksgiving and this Thanksgiving, so you can see the contrast between the two. And why is that important? Well, when we're what we see in restored marriages is that initially it starts out with a spouse is distant, cold, angry, and as God hears our prayers and answers our prayers and takes our spouse's cold-hearted hearts and transforms them and transplants their cold heart, cold heart, into a heart of flesh with his name written on it, we see that the anger dissipates. We see that softness, the warmness coming back. And we see that in many testimonials of those marriages who have been restored. Sometimes it happens suddenly and there's no, you know, warming up to it. And other times there's, you know, there's that warmth and that heart of flesh that develops. So here's my testimony for this week is that, you know, she's coming over, she's happy, she's looking forward to it. She's making a couple of dishes, which is, you know, pretty cool. And this is a first in a, you know, in the past 2 years or third Thanksgiving. So let that be an encouragement to you guys that, you know, we're not standing in vain. It seems like, you know, maybe God's not hearing our prayers. We've prayed all the prayers. We're looking for new prayers. We are, you know, we've fasted. We've done everything that we believe God has told us to do. And then we sit here saying, okay, God, I did everything. Where's my results? And after having done all of that, there's scripture telling us very specifically, after you've done all of that, stand, continue to stand in faith. And faith means that we don't quit. Faith means that we endure until the time that God will do what he said he's going to do. Because if he said he's going to do it, it's as good as done. So, you know, there's many scriptures in the Bible and stories, and you know, Abraham had to wait, Abraham, Sarah, Joseph had to wait, you know, for his dream of, you know, his family bowing down to him and, you know, so there are many examples in the Bible of God said it and he will do it, but he has a perfect timing for that. And last week, for me personally, one of my Rhema words that I've received some 35, 40 times over the past 3.5 years is that Habakkuk 2, 2, and 3. For me, that's one of the Rhema words for me. And last week I spent 2 days just meditating on that scripture. And the Lord was telling me, you know, be patient. I'm working on it in my timing. Just be patient and rest in my promise. And for me, that was huge last week because for me, that did something for me personally, internally, where I experienced a greater level of rest and peace. Because I was just, and the Lord just really let it sink into my heart. In my timing, and if you're not familiar with Habakkuk 2, 2, and 3, it's a great scripture. It's this, and said, write the vision to make it plain on tablets that he may run and read it. Now, I've changed this for my prayer. You know, Chris, write down the dream that I gave you and the promises that I gave you and that you will read it every single morning and strengthen yourself and encourage yourself in my promise that I gave you. For the dream and the promise that I gave you, it's for an appointed time. But at the end of that appointed time, it will speak and it will not lie. And though it takes a while, wait for it. But because it's absolutely for sure going to come, it won't take too long. So there's that reassurance of not too late, not too soon, right on time. So when I really just kind of let that sink into my heart last week for 2 days just meditating on that scripture and in prayer, I found a greater level of peace because I know that God's totally got this, and I don't need to worry, stress, fret about when. Is it going to be this holiday? Is it going to be this Christmas that God's going to bring her home? Is it going to be next week, next month? And finally, I resolved that it doesn't matter when. It's just all I need to know is it's done. It's already done. When God decides something, it's as good as done. So for me, that's where I found my peace, where I don't need to worry about that anymore. I still pray for my wife, you know, diligently and fervently every single day. But I don't need to worry about when, and, you know, and I'm missing her. Yeah, I miss her. I miss her tremendously. You know, just like everybody else on this call does. But it's pretty cool. So that's my testimony for this week is, think about, you know, what I shared with you guys from 2 years ago, what her character, her attitude was, and how she was toward me, to compared to, you know, this Thanksgiving and how she is. So God is changing her heart, and it is awesome when you read testimonies that God has done it for someone else, but then when you witness God moving in your own life, in your own marriage, in your own husband or wife, when you witness him doing it for you, it's a whole different meaning of in a relationship with God, one-on-one personally. So I just want to share that as encouragement with you guys for tonight. And that's my praise report for this week. Thank you, Lisa.
Awesome. Oh, wow. That was awesome. I was, like, smiling ear to ear. Anybody else got a praise report? We're so happy for you, Chris, that things are moving forward.
God's moving. He's always moving.
Yes.
Anybody else have anything that, you know, any praise reports they want to share?
Or does Chris's praise report give anybody else hope? Like he said, sometimes it's slow changes and sometimes it's instant. I'm telling you, I find that the more we give God praise for even the small things that he's doing, which he does even more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anybody else? Okay. Tonight we were going to speak on the topic of pride. I'm going to speak for just a few minutes if I can get your attention, and then if you have anything you want to say, I will make this reminder that since we are recording the call and we do like to post them, if you would just be so kind as to not mention your spouse's name. If you want to mention your name, that's fine, but please don't mention your spouse's name. So I'll go ahead and kick it off with something that I found on the internet, and if you want to look it up, it's called 7 Subtle Symptoms of Pride, and it's an article written under the webpage called Desiring God, and the author is Fabian Harford. So, but I just want to read a small portion of this. It says, "Pride will kill you forever. Pride is the sin most likely to keep you from crying out for a savior. Those who think they are well will not look for a doctor. As seriously dangerous as pride is, it's equally hard to spot when it comes to diagnosing our hearts. Those of us who have the disease of pride have a challenging time identifying our sickness. Pride infects our eyesight, causing us to view ourselves through a lens that colors and distorts reality. Pride will paint even our ugliness in sin as beautiful and commendable." So there's much more here that she goes on to say about pride, but I want to take a pause here and ask you just a question to ask yourself. And that is, when I gave the topic and I read that paragraph, did you first think of your spouse or did you first think of yourself?
Spouse.
when I have always thought of pride, I've always thought of my spouse first. But last week, my eyes were opened to see my own pride. And I want to share with you how God used a situation to open my eyes up to my own pride. I am the primary caregiver of our child. And first I want to say that the term primary caregiver is nowhere to be found in our Bible. That is a term that man has given to handle situations such as divorce. So let me just continue with the situation. I'll try to keep it brief. But as the primary caregiver, I had this notion that any decisions made concerning our child needed to be approved by me. Now, before you get huffy at me, remember that when you're standing for a marriage to be restored, it doesn't look like what the world says. As a matter of fact, it looks completely opposite than the world. In my case, I have to realize as the woman, I am to submit myself unto my own husband. He is the head of the house. Even if we're not still living together, even if we're divorced, if I'm saying he's my covenant spouse, but yet I want to take back control when it benefits me or makes me feel good, then what does that say about my stand and how obedient I am to the Word of God? So I come from that premise. You may not agree with me, and that's okay. I'm just sharing with you what brought me to the place of seeing my pride. So when a decision was going to be made concerning travel with our daughter, I got angry because I believed in my heart he did not come to me first to discuss this decision, but he first went to her to see if she was even interested. I may have been justified in my thoughts. I won't say that I wasn't justified in my thoughts, but the spirit behind my words and my actions were prideful. I wanted a position that I really did not have, a position of authority that I felt like he had taken from me and undermined me. Because prior to him even asking her if she was interested, in my alone time, I thought, this would be a good idea if our daughter went with him on this trip. And I was going to mention it to him. But do you hear me keep saying I and my and me? All of those are possible symptoms of there being a spirit of pride behind my attitude. And in a conversation that I had with Freddie, and you all remember that he and his wife came on the call. He may even be on right now. I don't know. If he is, I hope he'll speak up. But in a conversation
I'm here.
Listening to well, you don't know what I'm talking about. So
yes,
he can witness to this. But in a conversation, in talking with Freddie, as he was speaking words of Christ, as he was speaking under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, God opened my eyes, and I began to get convicted. At first, I thought he was telling me that I was rebellious. and there may be a little bit of that, too, because I think pride and rebellion are cousins. I believe they're first cousins, and especially for me. And I'm going to speak about me. And so, but if you see yourself, if you identify yourself as a female and what I'm saying, then don't get angry, but go and ask God, because as soon as I recognized this pride in me, I said, Father, forgive me. And his grace is so sufficient. When we tap into the will of God like that, you know he's waiting with open arms to forgive us. I mean, he's already forgiven us. He just wants us to acknowledge it. And so when I acknowledge that sin, the Lord's grace, the blood of Jesus just instantly came in and began to wash me and cleanse me. And what could have turned out to be something ugly between my spouse and I, instead this has been working together for our good. The communication is becoming better now. He even said to me the other day, he used the word, I'm sorry to me. And he said, I see changes in you. All of that because I humbled myself and forgot about the primary caregiver role. So, and from that, I wanted to talk about pride tonight, because pride goes before the fall. And I want to give you the scripture. So my daughter picked out a Bible plan for she and I to read, and the Bible plan is called Pride Goeth Before Destruction. And some of the scriptures are Proverbs 16 and 18, Pride Goeth Before Destruction, and a Haughty Spirit Before a Fall. Proverbs 11 and 14, and this is where Freddie comes in, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. We have to be willing to humble ourselves and accept what others are sharing with us. James 4 and 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And then 1 Samuel 15 and 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Or some of us might say he has rejected us from being wife, or he has rejected us from being husband. I want to read to you the seven subtle symptoms of pride. I'm not going to go into all the definitions of them, but the first one is fault finding, and in short, basically, it just says that while pride causes us to filter out the evil we see in ourselves, it also causes us to filter out God's goodness in others. And letting only their fault fall into our perception of them. So we need to look beyond the faults of others, just like Christ has looked beyond our faults. A harsh spirit, which I just read about, a haughty spirit. If you have the sickness of pride in your heart, then you speak of other sins with contempt. Remember I said it was the spirit behind my words. So when I spoke of what he was doing, really, he was not in fault, but when I spoke of it, I had irritation, I had frustration, there was judgment, contempt. All of these things as a symptom of pride being the underlying cause of the words that I'm speaking. Superficiality, and this just says that when pride is in our hearts, we're far more concerned with others' perception of us than the reality of our heart. So it comes down to a heart thing. Number four is defensiveness. And when we stand in the strength of Christ, righteousness alone, we find confident hiding place from the attacks of men. True humility is not knocked off balance and not thrown into a defensive posture. So we get defensive. So I started defending my position. I'm the primary caregiver. He shouldn't have done that. I got defensive. Presumption before God. I want to read this one. Humility approaches God with humble assurance in Christ Jesus. If either the humble or the assurance are missing in that equation, our heart very well might be infected with pride. Some of us have no shortage of boldness before God, but if we're not careful, we can forget that he is God. Number six is desperation for attention. Pride is hungry for attention, respect, and worship in all forms. And then neglecting others. Pride prefers some people over others. It honors those the world deems worthy of honor, giving more weight to their words, their wants, and their needs. And so I'm going to conclude here with saying that I'm not by any means saying that the spouse that has left you is not experiencing pride in their heart, But tonight, I want us to look to see if there is pride in our own hearts that God is trying to cleanse us of, creating me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. So I said a lot, and since I did bring up Freddie's name before I give it over to Chris, because Chris is going to also address pride and hopefully cover some of the pride that men may have to deal with, because I was really speaking from a woman's perspective tonight. So that's pretty much all that I want to say. Freddie, did you have any comments or not anything?
That's, woman of God, what you said was a mouthful. That, you know, you had me doing a self-evaluation, you know, and from a man's perspective, it is challenging. You know, that's the hardest thing, is to look at the person in the mirror, you know, and sometimes just a simple apology goes a long way. You know I was always this type of person that it was hard for me to accept constructive criticism, you know, even at my job. I used to always, that it seemed like an attack. I viewed it as an attack on me. And it cost me some jobs. it you know, cost me some relationships, because when you try to fight for your way, when you fight for your right to be right instead of doing what's right, then you're doomed to fail. You know, that pride is something that keeps us from a true, authentic relationship with our Heavenly Father. That pride is a robe that the enemy places on you to discredit the work of God. That pride, it's a shackle to you. The pride is a heavy weight that will keep you from experiencing the real glory of God in your life and in your relationship. See, what that does, it blots out the illumination of God in your life. You may think that, you know, you're right, and I can quote the word better, this and that, but it's you have no light. You have no, people can't see it, but you're blinded by your pride. It's an arrogance. You know, I'm quicker now to tell my wife, hey, man, I apologize. You know, matter of fact, one of my sisters did something, and I told her about it. We're communicating via text, her, myself, and my wife. And she told me, she said, hey, if whatever I did to, you know, to offend you, I apologize, right? And so, but before I could get to that part, my wife had told me, she had said, you responded too quickly. I said, what you mean I responded too quickly? I was just giving my truth. I wanted to, you know, she did X, Y, Z to me, and I wanted to let her know. But she said, you moved too quick. And I even text you before you responded to say, hey, stop, don't go any further, because she said God's had something in her heart to add to what I needed to say. But I took it as, hey, man, I'm a man. You can't tell me what to, I know how to use my words. Don't, you know, I know how to use my words real well. So stay in your lane. So, but the Holy Spirit convicted me immediately, and I repented to God first, and I repented to my wife, and I told her, I said, you know what? I apologize. You're exactly right. You're correct. I shouldn't have been. That's not wisdom, to be so quick to speak, but because of, you know, yeah, you finally admitting that I was right. Now you have to apologize. That's pride. That's pride. And so as a man, that's a hard thing, because we use that terminology, prideful, being pride. It's all right to have pride in who you are, be pride. You have pride. But it gets so ingrained in us as a man, to it hardens us, and it keeps us from being pliable to receive constructive feedback from others that love us. And that's a part that's detrimental to us as men. So I don't want, you know, sorry, we'll take your time, Chris.
Thanks, Freddie. I'm going to kind of piggyback. Freddie, you mentioned something that reminded me of something that the Holy Spirit spoke to me just this week, and I didn't even connect the dots until just now. So thank you, Freddie. I have teenage kids, and two of them are learning how to drive right now. So earlier this week, I was driving with one of them, and as I'm, you know, in the passenger seat, and she's driving, you know, I'm pointing out different things, and you know, and giving her, you know, instruction on the road. And one thing that I mentioned to her was, and I have to share this story with you, because as soon as the words left my mouth, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and it gave me a greater appreciation for humility in contrast to pride. So as I'm giving my one daughter instruction, I'm saying, I'm telling her, I said, look, you have to drive defensively, because you might be a good driver, but that doesn't mean you'll never get an accident. A really good driver means that you're watching out what the other person is doing and anticipating what they may or may not do, because people make mistakes. And I said it very clear, and people make mistakes. And I've shared, you know, with her a couple of times in the past where because I've learned to watch what other people are doing and anticipate that, I've avoided several accidents. Just last month, somebody ran a red light, and had I not had that awareness of me, I would have been in an accident due to no fault of my own. So as I'm explaining this to my one daughter, I then made the point, which then the Holy Spirit not only gave to me to say, but then helped me understand what I just got done saying, which kind of sounds funny, because the Holy Spirit gives you the words, and then they come out of your mouth, and then you, by your own words, prophesy to yourself. What I told my one daughter was, even though there are rules of the road, people will sometimes violate those rules at your expense. But you could choose, even though you have the right of way, you can choose and insist on having your right of way, but then you'll end up in an accident. For example, you're at a stoplight and the light turns green for you. You immediately start driving without giving thought to the fact that maybe someone is trying to run the yellow before it turns red, or someone's trying to make that last second turn or cross, or they're just making a mistake and not paying attention and totally, you know, without even ignorantly ran the red light. Yes, you have the right of way, and you can enforce and stand on your right. It's a green light. I had a green light, and I drove. But then the other person, they came slamming into you. So you could stand on your right of way, and be right and suffer a car accident, or you could yield yourself to the other person, regardless of why they're doing it, out of ignorance, out of willful disregard for the rules at a stoplight or the stoplight, the red. Whatever the reason is, it doesn't matter. You could choose to be right and end up in an accident, or you could choose to yield and avoid the accident altogether. And isn't that, and then as soon as I said that to my one daughter, then immediately the Holy Spirit said, isn't that the way you're supposed to be with your wife? And I thought, oh my goodness, how did I never see and understand it in that way ever before? And it's amazing how God will use those things to speak to us and reveal greater truth to us. And in my marriage, it's, yes, I could be totally right on this or that. I could be well within my rights to say this or to do that. But God is saying, sure, you have every right to do that. And no one would condemn you and no one would blame you. But then you suffered a consequence of being in an accident. You suffer the consequence of harming that relationship, that one fleshness and the unity with your wife. Is that what you want? Because you could stand on being right and your legal rights all day long and you'll have nothing. Or you could yield yourself in humility and avoid the accident. And I don't know about you guys, but for me that spoke loudly and clearly. Because God used that such a powerful analogy to really drive the point home. And that was beautiful. So, Freddie, thank you, because something that you said triggered that memory that I had earlier this week, because I thought about it just now while you were speaking. I remember, like, wow, wait a minute. So I'm learning two and a half years now, standing for a marriage, and I'm still learning about pride. I'm still learning about humility.
Ready for me? Let's go back.
And thank you, Lisa, for what you said in the scriptures that you shared. As you were sharing some of the scriptures, one thing that I was reminded of, I was listening to a sermon about a month ago, and who was that? I think it was Derek Prince. He was speaking on pride and humility, and he asked the rhetorical question, do you know how to humble yourself before the Lord? Because there's a verse in the Bible, God says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he's the one who will raise you up.
Okay.
And I find that interesting. If we just humble ourselves before the Lord, he's the one who's going to raise us up. And just like to some of the points that Freddie was talking about, especially for us men, we feel like we have to enforce our rights. We have to enforce throw our weight around, throw our pride around, throw our arrogance around. Somehow, like, that's going to get us what we believe we deserve. And God tells us something very different. God says, humble yourself before me, and I will raise you up before men. That's interesting. What we do before God, God will do to us before men. If we bring our pride before God, God will humble us before men. But if we come to God in humility, then God will raise us up before men. So you see how what we do with God personally one-on-one, God reacts with us publicly in front of everyone around us. So he'll either break us down or lift us up. And God's word is absolutely true. When we start implementing God's principles in our lives, God does exactly what he said he's going to do. If we humble ourselves before him, he's the one who's going to raise us up. The other thing and then my last point that I want to make is on humility and pride. I see on the prayer wall, every now and then I see somebody who in a very cavalier way, self-righteous way, they will say, well, you need to list, you need to step up and you need to tell your husband or your wife and set boundaries. And I cringe when I see that. And I don't want to go into detail of, this boundary or that boundary. I want to go to the heart of the matter. Let me speak about boundaries and the heart. If you're going to set boundaries in your marriage, there might be certain boundaries you have to set. If there's, physical abuse of some kind or mental abuse of some kind, pick that before the Lord and ask the Lord what you should do. And to let the Lord lead you what you should do. But when it comes to setting boundaries, there's books out there by well-intentioned Christians who want to tell us how we should set boundaries for our wives or husbands or our children. And the problem I have with that, and I've taken psychology in college, and I will tell you that the problem, the major problem I have with psychology is that a lot of psychology that the world teaches goes against the grain and the heart and the spirit and the character of God and what God tells us. God tells us that His ways are not our ways, His thoughts are not our thoughts, and His thoughts are way above ours. So then we have to look and say, okay, well, God, if your ways are different than ours, what have we learned? What has the world taught us? And we have to take and look at those things, and setting boundaries is one. And I bring this up only because I think the Holy Spirit prompted me to bring this up tonight, that because we see that on the prayer wall, you have to set boundaries for your, you know, your husband who comes in at 2 o'clock and he's drunk and he's, you know, and he's, you know, loud and he's, you know, this or that, or your wife is, you know, flaunting the boyfriend or the other man in front of your children or whatever it is, you know, you got to set boundaries. And I tried really hard to go to the New Testament and ask Jesus, you know, in the four Gospels, Jesus, when you were walking and you were ministering for 3 years, did you set boundaries? And if you did, what boundaries did you set? And if you did set them, what are they? And if you didn't, what's the world saying that we should? And you're saying, don't. As a matter of fact, if God doesn't say setting boundaries, then we shouldn't. And if we can't find it in the Bible, in the New Testament, then we should really consider that and be very, very careful, because oftentimes pride will sneak in hand in hand, lockstep with boundaries, because with boundaries, when we set boundaries, what we're telling the other person is we're in charge, we're taking the bull by the horn, we're going to control the situation, and we're going to dictate to our husband and wife what they can and cannot do. Now tell me that is not a wide open front door invitation for pride to waltz right in and have a huge party. So I'm not going to say do this and do that, you know, set these boundaries, don't set those boundaries. I don't want to do that. What I want to say is, if you're going to set boundaries for your spouse, if you feel that you have to, take it before the Lord and do a heart check, your heart. Check your heart before the Lord. Bring it in prayer and fasting before the Lord and ask the Lord. And if you believe that the Lord is specifically telling you very clearly, you have to have Scripture to back it up, because the Holy Spirit will never speak something to you that's contrary to the Word of God. Because if it's contrary to the Word of God, that's not the Holy Spirit, that's an evil spirit. So we need to check that. Check your heart, check the Word, check with prayer and fasting, and then take the step. And then take the step. Because oftentimes, even Bob and Charlene talk about this a lot, we have to be careful in setting boundaries, because that one very single boundary you set may be the one thing that keeps your husband or your wife from coming home. Yeah. Because Satan will use, if you give him a foot, he'll use it. If you give him an inch, he'll use that against you and the restoration of your marriage and preventing your spouse from coming home. So we have to be really, really, really careful. And I'm going to echo something that Freddie said, is that as a man, it is very easy. I think we're more fragile. We're more fragile because I think God created us to be respected by our wives. He ingrained that into our DNA. And Freddie, I welcome you to jump in any time and correct me if I'm wrong. We're wired to be that way. And I've had, as a man and a husband, father, I've had many opportunities where I could look at my wife and I could point my finger, raise my voice, and be 100% in right standing and legal justification to say, she's wrong, she's out of order, she's out of place, and I'm right, and I have every right to do this or do that or do this. And you know what? Because I'm not being respected. As a man, as a husband, as a father, and she's walking all over me in this area or that area, and I have to go back to Scripture. The Lord, you know, I remember, you know, the 12 disciples were they were having a conversation amongst themselves. Jesus was nearby, but they were talking and they were comparing themselves to each other. Who will be the greatest in the kingdom? And then they went and asked Jesus, Jesus, which of us are going to be the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus, if you know the story and the answer, Jesus says, he who humbles himself, the least of you will be the greatest of you in heaven. The least of you, the most humble one. And then I think, and I could be wrong with this, but if memory serves correct, I think that as he was even speaking those things, he went and he grabbed an apron and put it around his waist. And he grabbed a tub of water, and he bent down and started washing the disciples' feet. That is utter humility. Now, I want to go back real quick to the sermon I heard about a month ago by Derek Prince. He was talking about humility. How do we humble ourselves? And I think that there's a couple points that he made that stood out for me that I didn't realize. But go back to a verse. Humble yourself before the Lord. What is the Lord saying? To humble yourself. Is God going to do it? Well, God can do it. If God does it, it's going to be not fun. God says, you do it. You do it. Chris, you humble yourself. Okay, Lord, I got it. How do I do that? So as I'm listening to the sermon, Derek says, humble yourself before the Lord. He says one very, very good way to humble yourself before the Lord is to pray and fast, the fasting part, because fasting, and it doesn't matter how you're fasting, and that's go search online, you know, biblical fasting, and there's several different ways and ways you can do it, and, you know, so that's a different story. But fasting is the greatest form of humbling yourself before the Lord, because what you're doing is you're saying no to your flesh. It's our flesh that drives the pride. Well, I'm this, I'm that, I deserve this, I deserve that. Well, oh, well, I'm right. I'm on legal rights. I have a right to this and right to that. And all of that, pride finds its home and its foothold in the flesh, in our wants, our desires, our feelings, our emotions, our hunger, our thirst, our sexual drive, our passions, whatever it is. But when it comes time to fasting and denying your body food for one meal, two meals, three meals for the day, whatever fasting you do, that's humbling yourself before the Lord, because you're denying your flesh. Because I think it was Paul. Okay, I'm confused. Is it Peter or Paul? One of them said, less of me and more of you, Lord. Let me decrease so that you might increase. And that's my two cents on the pride and humility is be very careful. Be very careful if you're going to set boundaries. Some of you may need to set one or two, but do it prayerfully, do it cautiously. Grab the Bible, make sure you have a scripture from the Bible that backs up what you do. Because if you don't, you might be out of order with God. And you might be operating out of the flesh. And humbling ourselves before the Lord ultimately ends up in humbling ourselves before our husbands and our wives. Because if we truly are one flesh, well, a one flesh cannot be prideful against itself. That's impossible. So think about that. If you and your spouse really are one flesh, because that's what God said that we are, then how can we be prideful against ourselves? That doesn't make sense. So how could you be prideful towards your spouse? But we cannot be humble before our spouse if we're not humble before God first. So, and I'm preaching to myself at the same time with this, because, you know, I'm still learning this, and there's areas in my heart that I need to work on, you know, the different parts of pride. But this is the scripture. Back it up with scripture, the boundaries, if you're going to have any. And be very careful that saying you're not letting that one boundary you set up, let Satan twist that into becoming a stumbling block and a wall keeping your spouse from coming home. Because Satan will use that if you give them the means and opportunities to do that. So be, and you know, and I'm telling you this, guys, because I see this on the wall. Be very, very careful. I want to, you know, we're seeing marriages restored. We're seeing in last week, two people posted that, you know, God brought their spouses home. And it's awesome and amazing. God does it all the time. And you and I just, at the beginning of this call, I shared my testimony of how God's softening my wife's heart. So careful with the boundaries. Humble ourselves with the Lord by fasting, whatever your fasting is. And that's all I got.
Wow.
Lisa, back to you.
So anybody on the call, we want to hear from our listeners tonight.
Hi, Lisa. This is Kim.
Hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm good. I've been joining a couple of times, and I thank you for the opportunity. I am blessed to just be able to be a part of this. While I have been married 34 years, there was a season in my marriage where my husband and I did separate, and I heard Chris sharing, and I just really felt like I could probably share some insight on setting boundaries. I really felt in that season when my husband and I separated, the Lord actually told me to leave. And so I left with my daughter. We moved to another state. At the time, my husband was military. And while we were there, God confirmed that I was being obedient. He provided in miraculous and amazing ways. And we were separated for probably about almost 2 years. And he got out. He came to where we were. Moved. Well, I was in California and he was in Colorado. He left Colorado, packed up, came to where we were, was amazed to see that we were doing well. During that season, it was really hard, but I pursued God so hard during that time. We talked on the phone, but he was in a place where God had to get his attention. And the Lord let me know in that time that what he needed to do in him, my daughter and I did not need to be at home. When he showed up, he just assumed he was going to move in. And so I had to, with prayer, and it was hard, let him know that he could not move in the house. And I remember asking God why, and God just said, trust me and give it time. So my husband ended up going back to his parents' house in another part of California. And we worked. There was no resentment. There was no meanness. He could come over, but he could not come back into my bed without both of us being in agreement. So it was no denying of affection or anything like that. But he could not stay in the house. But we worked on the relationship, and that was a boundary I had to set with him. We eventually worked on everything. I was going to church, and then once we got back together, he shared that he reached one of the darkest moments in his life, that God, while we were separated, brought him to the end of himself. And I think I heard Freddie share something like that on one of the phone calls. But in our marriage, what would happen, I'm the type of person that when it gets hard, I'm the intercessor. I would pull things out. I would make things happen. If money was missing, I'd find a way to make ends meet. And God has let me know over the years that he had to remove me and make me stay out of the picture so that he could reach my husband. So I agree, if you're going to set boundaries, you've got to know that you are led of the Lord. You've got to be really in tune. Even if you walk away, even if you say no, you've got to know that your footsteps are ordered. and you've got to be following God's purpose and plan for your life and for your spouse's life. During that time, I interceded for him. I stood for him until God brought us back together. And like I said, that was, gosh, my daughter now is 27, and we had her shortly after we got back together. So God is still doing amazing things. But first, he wants you, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. Continue to seek God's presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, instead of his presence, like in a gift. That's all I got to say.
Wow, thank you for sharing that. You may have some people that want to ask you a question now, but I appreciate you. I'm trying not to say too much. Anybody else? Okay. Is anyone still on the call? Can y'all hear me?
We can hear
yes,
you loud and clear.
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Matthew 6:33 is actually one of my favorite go-to words. It's probably a rhema word for a lot of us if it has to come alive in our hearts. But Chris, Freddie, anybody else have anything else to say? I'm not going to keep you on the call too long tonight.
I just want to say this. I think that woman of God, Kim, what she just said, that was just, I don't think anything else needs to be said. I mean, that was from the Father, you know.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Thank you, Kim.
And, I mean, it was a while ago, but God's been in the restoring business for quite some time now. Some of them we're just hearing about, but he's always there to restore, and no restoration looks the same. And so I just want us to learn how to really rely and depend on the Holy Spirit, because what works for one individual may not be the direction that the Lord is taking us in. So first and foremost, we do have to seek him first in our restoration. So I just like the heart. I keep going back to the heart. Everything that God does, I almost want to say that as a standard, I couldn't stand without discernment, and it's just only God can change the heart, but he can help us see the heart, our own as well as the other person's. So I think tonight's call has been really good. Chris, I'll give it back over to you for final words and the benediction. We did want to make one announcement. I kind of forgot. A couple of weeks ago, we said we were going to have every other week calls, and someone asked me why were we having every other week calls. They like the weekly calls. So what we decided to do was so that it wouldn't be too taxing on any one person, the line will be available every Thursday. So if anybody wants to dial in, you're more than welcome to do so. Those calls, even though they'll be recorded, will not be posted. They will not be facilitated, But the line will be open so that you can come on and have a call. If at least two of you are on, then you can have a call. If it's just one of you, I probably would say don't just talk to yourself. But if you really need someone to talk to, text somebody or get on the RMM share wall and just say, hey, I'm on the call. Can somebody else join tonight? And someone will be there. So every other week will be hosted. Next week, next Thursday is Thanksgiving. If you want to join the call, get on the line, you can. I think we're calling it Thursday Talk, Thursday Testimony, something like that. But
open
that
mic.
Will be every other week.
Open
mic. Thank you. So our next actual hosted call will not be until Thursday, December 5th. If I don't see you, don't talk to you, I wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving. I pray that God will minister to the hearts of husbands and wives everywhere and families can be together because God gets the glory. I want to say this. I just remembered. I missed my flight from Arizona to Maryland on yesterday. But I didn't get upset because I remembered all things work together for my good, even though I couldn't quite figure out how this was working together for my good. But as I sat on the plane, on the flight, I sat next to a couple that had been married for 40 years. And as we were 3 hours into our flight, the wife began to just open up to me, and she just, you know, just talked to me. And we had a really blessed conversation. And as the flight landed, she looked to me and she said, I will pray for you and your husband because God honors marriage. It brings him glory. And that just ministered to me, just that one sentence, two sentences, it ministered to me. So I share it with you. When you feel down in the dumps, you feel like this is not ever going to happen for you, remember, God honors marriage. Marriage was created by God to bring him glory, and the enemy has come in and deceived one or both of us in that marriage. And so it is his desire, it is his will that your marriage is restored. But his first desire is to restore and to reconcile you back to the Son. So he wants to reconcile each and every one of us to Christ. And when our relationship with Christ is in a really, really good place, trust me, he will restore your marriage. I say it with boldness. I say it with confidence. I decree and declare tonight that God will restore your marriage. Seek him first. Seek him first and all in all of your goings, on all of that you do. Freddie and Kalanda is a testimony of a restored marriage. Kim and her husband is a testimony of a restored marriage. Charlene and her husband, a testimony of a restored marriage. He will do it again. Hosea and his wife is a testimony of a restored marriage. He will do it again. So, I ask God tonight that he will bless each and every one of us. He will minister once again to the hearts, to the minds of men and women everywhere, that he will keep our children covered while they're still living in these divorced homes, and that to God be the glory. Let us end the year on a high note. I want to hear some more restored marriage testimonies. And we bless God for what he's doing in Sophia's life. I don't know if she was able to join tonight, but some great things are happening there. We're thankful that Chris is going to get to spend time with his wife this Thanksgiving, and their family will be together. And I'm looking forward to God being with me and my spouse and our family being together at Thanksgiving. Share your heart with your spouse. Amen?
Amen.
All right. One of these men on the call, I'm going to ask one of the men to close us out in prayer and send us on our way.
I just want to add that I know there might be a few of you on this call right now who your hearts are just really hurting. You're in a lot of pain. You're hurting. and you can't even, and you probably can't even find the words to speak, to say anything, even in this conference call. You're looking for that life preserver in a dark, you know, wavy ocean with wind and waves, and you're just looking for something to grab onto and hold on to, something that's going to give you that reassurance. And I know, because I've been there. I've been there. Even though when I started my stand, I was a Christian, my relationship with the Lord has just grown, you know, tremendously in this season, and that's you know, that's what the Lord takes. Romans 8:28. He'll take all things and work them for our good. But I want to remind you, though, that if you're in a place right now where your heart is heavy and it's hurting and you're scared and you're frightened and you're not sure what to do, God and Jesus Christ is your life. They are your life preserver. They are the solid ground to find your footing. They're the ones to stand on. There's, you know, I could, all of us could sit here, you know, me, Lisa, Sophia, Freddie, Colanda, Charlene, all of us could sit here and speak until we're blue in the face. But it's until that moment when you get down on your knees in private, just you and the Lord, just you and our Heavenly Father, and you come before our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ. You come before Him in private, in that secret place, and you yield yourself to Him, and you share all your burdens and all your tears and all your fears and worries and concerns. Until you get to that place where you just give Him everything. He said, you know, give Him your burdens. His yoke is light and easy. His is light and easy. And you're carrying the burdens you shouldn't be carrying. Fear, worries, you know, those are the biggest ones. There's nothing I can do for you. There's nothing that any one of us on this phone call can do for you, other than just point you to the one who can, and the only one who can, and the one who is mighty to do it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you're here on this phone call, and maybe you'll listen to this in a recording later, in a playback later. Create that space of time where you just go into a private place in your house by yourself, no one's home. Get on your knees and just spend time with the Lord. Tell Him everything. Everything that's on your heart. He already knows everything. But in the very act of getting alone with Him and spending time in His presence, just you and Him, in the name of Jesus Christ, through that relationship, He will give you the joy and the peace that you're looking for. Just today, I met a woman for the first time today, and we end up having a conversation. And then, you know, I asked her what her last name was. She told me what her name was, and she mentioned that she mentioned her last name. She says, "Well, that's my husband's last name." And I looked at her, like, "What do you mean?" But in my heart, the Holy Spirit already told me what that meant. And the next words that came out of her mouth were, "Well, soon to be ex-husband, because he's filing for divorce." And that started a whole conversation between the two of us. And I shared my testimony with her. And it turns out that she's a Christian. Her husband's a Christian. I shared with her, you know, my wife did this, and she left, you know, 2 years ago back in August, and, you know, all that it has, you know, not details, but kind of the rough outline of what's happened between me and my wife, and what God's been able to do, and what God has done, and you know what, and as I was sharing some of the stuff with her, she shared some stuff with me, and the woman, it's been a year for her. And the woman just started breaking down and crying. I just met this woman. And she started breaking down and just crying. And I shared with her hope, hope that there's a God, because we're Christians. We believe in Jesus Christ. We have access to God, our Father. And as heavenly, we are seated with him in the heavenlies. If you have, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you right now are seated in the heavenlies with God our Father and Jesus Christ. And God says in Hebrews, come boldly before my throne seeking grace and mercy. Ask me whatever you will, and I'll give it to you. Ask. Bring all your fears, your worries, your concerns. God knows all that, but God wants that relationship. And the relationship starts in that private, secret place, one-on-one with God, in that secret place, in the closet, the bedroom, wherever, but just that alone time. He wants to hear from you and pour out your heart so that he can come step in and show you his love, his grace, his mercy, and some of you need to hear this, and his provision. He wants to show you, you've got financial issues, bring them to me and let me show you what I will do for you. You're looking for a place to live, bring that to me and let me prove to you and show you how good I am. Because every single day I'm thinking thousands and thousands of good thoughts towards you. Come to me. Bring those to me. No one else can offer any of that. No one can, but he can. So today, you know, God brought that woman to me to start a conversation. And you know what? In that brief conversation, I was able to inject hope into her hopeless situation. And in through all of her tears, I sensed a glimmer of hope, like, really? Do you think God can do it? And I told her, I said, you know what? I have read and heard over 400 testimonials of restored marriages. And I'm not exaggerating when I say 400. As a matter of fact, that might be the low on the low end. It might be well over 500. On praisereports.org, the website itself, just on there, there's 130 of them just there. And I have another 20 or 30 to add. And I've got several books filled cover to cover of marriage restored testimonials of marriages being restored. And I told this woman, I said, well, tell me your situation. You know, and she did. You know, her husband, you know, left for another woman. He moved in with the other woman. And I said, oh, my goodness. I said, you know, I've got testimonials I could share with you that are 100 times worse than what you just explained. And God restored those marriages. And she looked at me like, really? Wow. She told me she stopped going to church because she went to the preacher and her pastor, you know, gave her the cold shoulder, is not talking to her. She left the church, stopped going to church altogether. Who's winning in that battle? Satan's winning. But you know what? We serve a mighty and great God, because that Father of ours in heaven knew what that woman needed and brought that woman across my path. And as soon as she let out of her mouth, when I asked, what's her last name and how do you pronounce it? Because it's like a Slavic name. She then told me in that one brief second, well, it's my soon-to-be ex-husband's last name. And that opened the door for that conversation. And I know that we're going to have more conversations, and I know I'm going to be able to share more with her to help her and encourage her to stand for her marriage, because she's a Christian, her husband's a Christian, and that's God brought her across my path for that reason. So I want to share with you guys, it's not just piggybacking on what Lisa said. There's more to marriage restoration than just us being happy and content and being restored with our husband or our wife. It glorifies God. It resembles our relationship with Jesus Christ and the covenant of marriage, where God said, look, my covenant with you, I will never break it. And that's why God will support our stand and honor our stand. He will honor our stand by bringing our spouses back. Because if he doesn't, then Satan wins and he gets no glory in the death of our marriage. So as long as we stand in faith, walk in faith and in obedience in him and what he tells us to do, he will restore. Show me a scripture in the Bible where he says he will not or does not want to. It's his nature, it's his character, and it resembles the relationship we have with Jesus Christ. So God does. And I'll tell you, in my stand, I've learned and grown so much about the Bible, verses I've never even read before. It's like discovering them for the first time ever or as the first time. God has revealed himself to me in many more different ways, in personal ways, but it started in that prayer closet, just me and him. And I will tell you that I've spent many, many nights, and days sometimes, on my knees and just praying, sobbing before the Lord. Humbled myself before the Lord because he's the only one who can do it. I have the option. I could walk away, find someone else. Or I could wait, trust in the Lord that he has something better. And the better thing, the better is not another wife, not another relationship. The better is my wife being brought home, restored, and transformed. Me being transformed, she being transformed, and our marriage being transformed, and our family being transformed, and our children being blessed, and their children being blessed, and other people who hear our testimony will be blessed, and others who I can minister to and testify will be blessed. So it's not just about you and your husband or you and your wife. It's much bigger. And the reason why he keeps saying it's much bigger is because if you could see how big marriage is to God, you will then begin to understand that not only God wants to, but he's fighting. He's fighting to bring your spouse home, but we get in the way sometimes because of our pride, selfishness. We follow our feelings and emotions instead of following the word, which is truth. His word is truth. Our feelings and emotions are lying and deceiving to us. Our feelings and emotions will they can lead us down the wrong path. If our feelings and emotions don't line up with the truth and the word of God, then we need to say no to that and deny it and give it no room and no space. And if you need time to grieve, fine. If you need time to cry, fine. But go and take it to the Lord, because he's ready with open arms, ready to receive you and say, I'm waiting for you to come before me so I can show you what I can do in your life, so I can provide financially the new job, the new place, the whatever you need, so I can provide you peace and comfort and hope and joy, and I can put laughter in your mouth again. I was on the phone with my wife today, and we were laughing and joking about stuff. And we're laughing and joking as she asks me about, you know, hey, what can I bring for Thanksgiving? And we're talking about that, and, you know, we're just laughing about, you know, silly stuff, as a husband and wife does. I know God's working on her heart. So I want to give you guys, for those of you who are just, have no words, you're so brokenhearted, I want to paint the picture. God is waiting for you, like right now, like right after this phone call. Go find a quiet space. Go, you know, put the kids to bed. Find a quiet space. Get before the Lord. And if it starts out with 5 minutes, fine. Start out with 5 minutes every day. Build it up to half an hour, an hour. You'll find that over time, your relationship with the Lord and Jesus Christ will grow to the point where you can go in and you can hang out. You know what you're doing? You know what you'll get to? You'll get to a point where you're talking to the Lord throughout the day and you don't even realize it. I caught myself today, just today, doing that several times. Like, Lord, I didn't give you the full hour today or the full hour and a half today. And the Lord said to me, no, you gave me all day. I said, what do you mean? You've been talking to me all day. I've been talking to him all day and I didn't realize it. Because I'm talking to him about this and that. And, you know, when that woman he brought across my path, you know, she opened the door. I'm communicating with the Lord. Lord, what do I say to her? Boom, he gave me the words. He told me what to say. And he said, this is your opening. Go tell her. Lord, is this too much? No, it's not. Tell her. She needs to hear this truth. Tell her. So I don't know what the Lord's going to do with what I, you know, my encounter with that woman today, but I know it blessed her, and I know the seeds were planted, and whether me or someone else waters those seeds and it grows, that's up to God. But I planted. because she's never heard of Standing for Marriages, and that marriage, God can restore to marriages. So see, God wants to work in us and through us, not so we fail, but so we're fully restored in our marriages, because our victory is His victory. But He gets 99% of it, and we get one. You know the 1% we get? We don't get the glory. We get a benefit of a husband and wife, companion, friendship, all that, you know, one ship, the fun, everything else that goes with being married. But the 99% is we have a testimonial. We have a job to do. God has a job for each one of us. In our own sphere of influence, God has a job for us to minister to other people, to share what God has done. That's how God works in and through us. And He can't work in through. He can't work through you and me if we have no testimony. Do you see why God wants to give us a testimony? Do you see why it's important for God to restore our marriage? It's more, like Lisa said, it is more important for God to restore a marriage than it is for us. We think it's important for us because we're basing that on our feelings and emotions, because we're in a place of hurt and loneliness and emptiness. And I get it. I understand. But let's look at the bigger picture, because if we see the bigger picture, by seeing that bigger picture, then our faith and our hope in God grows. And that's where we find our footing. And that's where we make our stand, on the Jesus Christ, the solid rock, His word, His promises. Because Jesus Christ is the Word, and the Word is Jesus Christ. And they're one and the same. They're synonymous. And we can't talk to God unless we go through Jesus Christ. And we can't talk about the Bible and Scripture without talking about Jesus Christ, because He and the Word are one and the same. So that's what I want to encourage you to do, is take all those feelings, emotions, and brokenness, and hurt, and pain, take that to the Lord, because He's the only one who can help you, and He so desperately wants to, but He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you right now, tonight. Can I encourage you to do that? I'm done. Freddie, if you're still on the call, can I ask you to close this out with prayer?
Okay, thank you, Chris. Thank you, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for these precious lives, Father God, that have come to hear a word from you, Father God, to seek wisdom from you. And Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, we come against that very spirit of pride. Father God, not only pluck it up, Father God, by the root, but identify it through the hearts and minds of your people, to let the very intent and the part where the pride came from, Father God, I ask that you would show them, so that, Father God, they can uproot it, Father God. And I ask you to replace it with humility right now in the name of Jesus. Now, Father God, for those that are hurting inside internally, Father God, I ask that you would bind their wound, Father God. I ask that you will heal their hurting heart. Father God, as they incline their ear to you and their hearts and minds, Father God, for you, that they will come into true, authentic relationship with you, Abba Father. So I thank you right now, Father, that you are revealing to us all things concerning ourselves as we make the necessary adjustments to be more pleasing to you, Father God, and to be more pliable through our processes. I thank you right now, great God, that you are. I thank you right now. You're going through right now, Father, and you're searching the hearts and minds, and you're giving revelation, Father God, of areas, Father God, that they need to grow, to mature in, Father God. I thank you in the name of Jesus, Father God, that we're approaching the holidays, and those that it brings up bad memories for, Father God, I thank you that you will make this time of the year sweet because of you and because of your Son, Father God. I thank you. I thank you that you're replacing those bad memories, but only with new memories of their relationship with you, starting anew in life, Father God, growing and learning and pursuing your will, Father. Now I thank you And I speak blessings upon every person on this phone and their families. And I thank you, and I decree safety during these holidays, Father God. I thank you right now that traveling grace is theirs as they go up and down the highways, Father God. I thank you that your angelic protection will be with them, Father God. And I thank you that for restoration, Father God, in marriages and in relationships, Father God. And I thank you that we will be careful to give you all the glory, all the praise and honor that is due to you. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Freddie. God bless every one of you, and happy Thanksgiving next week. And if any of you really need to speak to someone next week, I know it's Thanksgiving and we're not going to have a hosted call, but reach out to any one of us. You could email through praisereports.org. I know the emails through the RMM share wall or prayer wall are not working anymore, but go to praisereports.org, email me through there, and then I can connect you with Lisa, Sophia, Freddie, whoever you want to speak to or speak to me, whoever. If you want to speak or get in touch with one of us, just do that. But I do welcome, we all welcome you if you just really are just having a tough time and you want to just speak with someone and pray with someone and maybe get some encouragement. I know that for some of you next week is going to be quite challenging. And sometimes you just want that human connection. Seriously, reach out to us, reach out to us. One of us will find time, make some time, and we'll speak with you and connect with you. Okay. May God richly bless your weekend and your week next week and your Thanksgiving. And I know that we're all keeping you in our prayers. God bless you. Have a good evening. Good night.
Night.